to educate consumers, because I've mentioned this, I was really saddened, if you will, by the state of affairs of what's available in our industry. Our industry, precious metals, okay, the point of precious metals is they've been endorsed and authorized by the Bible from the beginning of written human history as true wealth, okay? They've always been money, always will be. God's made that clear in the Bible, and he tells us there's lots of it in heaven, okay, if you believe in heaven. I mean, I've had to go through all these things in my mind. Is that figurative for gold, or is it real for gold? Well, I mean, you know, I think my belief is it's definitely not figurative. That would be weird, that God would have a different meaning for the word gold and silver in heaven than he does now. I think what happens is I had years back what I would refer to only as a really awesome Star Wars dream, where I believe I got to go to heaven and see it after my dad passed. And I, believe me, I didn't look for it, ask for it, pray for it, nothing. There's a reason. I think it was a blessing to another person once I got the vision of it. And it's real. It's reality. The only thing about it that's different is our flesh is gone. It's missing. And so you have to realize and believe your spirit maintains what you accomplish and what you do. Our spirit is technically, you know, sin-free. It's our flesh that causes damage. It's our flesh that carries forth with problems. Our spirit somehow stays, you know, pure. And then you get into all these weird, interesting conversations, which I haven't had time to thoroughly study. Where's the spirit come from? Well, God makes it. Okay, great. So does God make the flesh? Yeah, kinda. He started the watch, basically. There's people, they're called deists, that believe that God wound up the clock and he's letting it unwind and he kind of judges us as we go. But, you know, with our spirit and our flesh, there's two very different conversations there. Our spirit is sin-free, as far as we can tell. Our flesh is where we carry on the badness, if you will, of Adam and Eve. And I've mentioned it multiple times before, don't blame them for your sins. Because guaranteed, if it wouldn't have been them, it would have been me. So you can just, if you get mad at Adam and Eve, get mad at me. Because I would have screwed it up if it would have made it this far. I kind of am joking. It wouldn't have. The whole nature of free will, the way God made it, the system he created, his design, it's all, you get into some heavy philosophy about that. He designed us to fall. Okay, how about in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? Yeah, good, good, good. God's perfect, he's great. And then it says, but now, the earth was tohu and bohu. Destroyed, devastated, chaotic, wiped out, messed up, screwed up. Well, is that the way he made it? Go look those words up. You know, there's a lot of things, if you haven't been there, for example, when you talk about Mystery Babylon, and you talk about New York, people who have never been there and weren't there when the trade towers were there, they'll argue till they're blue in the face. They don't even know what they're talking about. And it's the same with walking with God in all these different things. It's like if you haven't searched the scriptures and you don't know what they say and you haven't been around it, you don't comprehend appropriately what I think is being said by God. So basically, the point is this. I've been in this business for quite a while, 25 years-ish, we've built a business that's been blessed by God. I like what I do. I believe in what I do. You know, when you get into precious metals, you don't think of it as investing. What you want to think of it as is wealth and capital preservation. You know, people are like going, hey, how come gold and silver aren't going up? It's really bumming me out. I'm like, you know what? I kind of like it, and here's why. It gives us opportunity to buy in. It's going to blow. It's going to blow, blow, blow. On my way in today, I have land, and I have shops, and I have wells and all this. And on my way out, I was kind of meandering my way down. And, you know, first I was talking to a guy, you know, a guy who's helping us hook up our well. We got a new well. God gave us water in an area where it's not supposed to have any. And I'm telling you, that's the truth. I stood out in my backyard and looked over my land. It's underneath Micah Peak out there in the back of Green Acres. And I said, Lord, where's the water? And he told me. And then when the well company came out, they're like, why are we going way down here? We should go up over there. And I'm like, just do it. And even the guy that was helping me out, this absolutely fantastic kid, if you will, I'll be honest, I'll give you his name, is Joel Altmaier. He's one of the Altmaier family. Just phenomenal. I mean, this kid's the neatest, godliest, coolest kid ever. He's been helping us with our landscape for quite a while. He does upper-end properties. And he stepped up to the plate for us. And he is, you know, because I'm busy, my wife's busy, life's tough. We had water problems. He stepped up to help us get a well. He stepped in the way, and he's done a most beautiful job of helping us out. He's just been phenomenal. He's made things happen. He's just a terrific guy. And I just have to give him those kudos. I don't do that specific name stuff very much, but this kid has it going on. Joel Altmaier, if you have small landscaping needs, he's not your guy. If you've got a big, you know, turbo property, which I've always seemed to be attracted to, and people get like, oh, you know, your property's so big, you must be rich. You know, when I got out of college, and I was just kind of getting things going, and I had a good friend who had worked in this nutraceutical industry. He ended up creating an energy drink later called Zip Fizz. That's the powder you pour into a drink. I have at least one every day, and members of him. He passed through a very odd series of events, like murder. Anyway, we'll leave that behind. But when I was out of college and he first got married, and I went to his reception at his future father-in-law's home, it was spectacular on Lake Washington in Seattle, and I was super motivated. And then later on, when I visited his house years later, probably 4 or 5 years later, he had this gorgeous home in Woodinville, Washington, and I drove up, and they had these two beater-like Hondas, these old beater Honda cars out front, and this house was a spread. You walk in, the stairway sweeps in front of you, and you know, all that, and I'm like, how in the heck do you afford this? And he had the philosophy. Now, this is the mid-90s at this point. He goes, I've decided to stay real estate broke. He goes, I think that's a good decision, you know. And he, at the time, boy, was he on the money. So I took his lead, and I went after it. Of course, I was in banking, you know, so I knew how to do it. But he was my inspiration. And I thought, you know, now I know what the Bible says. Gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. Real estate's in there. I know that now. I didn't then, but I always knew. I mean, I was in banking, and I knew real estate was a solid asset. I knew, you know, that I loaned money on it every day, and that I did this and did that. And, you know, I'd been around the money world already a little bit by then, and I knew real estate just lasts. I knew it was a thing. I had, you know, since then, I've seen excessive volatility. I've seen unreasonable markets. I've seen markets to walk into and markets to walk away from. And right now, folks, I have to tell you, this is a time to walk away and breathe. People say, well, you know, some financial experts say this will never go down. You know what? I don't think it will. I think it may. There's going to be one of my biggest concerns is an extraordinary level of repossessions coming on the market. I have, as I become older, I have some interesting connections. I have a guy trained up in banking who was my assistant manager, and he followed me from one bank to another and went back and da-da-da-da-da, and now he's got a really neat position with the U.S. Treasury, which is pretty cool. And, you know, I've spoken to him. I've spoken to a number of people that I think are profound financial gurus. Another friend who's based out of London, like way connected. It literally like has had lunches with Janet Yellen. I mean, literally. That kind of stuff. These people, some of them say, hey, the repos are coming. Others, when I bring it up, they go, yes, that makes a lot of sense. However, there is some kind of a threshold issue taking place right now. What is that? And what I mean by that is, why all of a sudden the surge in prices on everything? Have you seen the price of cars and trucks? Used cars have gained extraordinary value the last couple years. Of course, real estate's bonkers. Anything solid's bonkers. I'll be honest, I like aircraft, and I've been looking at little planes, you know, like a little single prop, you know, just something, because I can't stand this COVID stuff, man. And I've, you know, had pilot certifications in the past, and I've gotten all the way through all the training stuff to, you know, basically where I never walked it out and finalized it. And, you know, of course, I've lost all that because it's been over 7 years. But I'm like, man, just having a little buzzer of a plane to zip back and forth to Montana and see relatives and things like that would be so nice. Of course, I'm busier, as they say, busier than a one-armed paper hanger. That's an old saying my dad used to use. What does that mean? I know what it means. It means a wallpaper hanger with only one arm. Guess what? That don't work. But anyway, I'm very busy, and I actually would love to have a little aircraft to buzz around in. But that too, the prices are just exuberant. I mean, for the owners, they're exorbitant for the rest of us, but they're just explosive. I don't know. Isn't that weird how I get on letters? I don't know how that happens. Must be my brain's dictionary. But the thing is they... Everything of value is going through the roof. And here's the problem, folks. What you want to know, my listeners, in fact, that's not even relevant. Everyone in general is in America. Well, my listeners in particular are the middle class. Okay? I mean, I'm not in West Hollywood, California going, you know, if you're considering... SUVs between the new Bentley Bentayga-Lago and the Rolls-Royce, whatever, you know, I would definitely go with the Rolls. Yes, it's $150,000 more, but it's just got so many neat little light, you know, I don't even know. I mean, that's not my clientele. We serve America. As goes Coins Plus, and this is known even industry-wide. As goes Coins Plus, so goes the industry. When we're buying way more than we're selling, I guarantee you, the rest of the U.S. is buying way more than they're selling. When we're selling more than we're buying, same. When things are up, down, or sideways, we're reflective of the national market. Spokane, Washington was used for years when we had physical storefronts for selling merchandise like Nordstrom's and, you know, the Bond or Macy's, JCPenney's, all these things that were fun. When those days were going on, Spokane was a prime test market. It was where they would test new products in the store to see how they sold, how they held up, etc. Spokane has always just been a really neat city that represents what's out there. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of things about it that are weird. For example, we have the second lowest per capita income for our city size in the United States. That's an old survey. It's about a decade old, but I'm sure I don't recall any substantial things taking place since then. So we're a very blue-collar community. 7 out of 10 of the top employers in Spokane are government, okay? That includes teachers, police officers. Hopefully we maintain those guys, and I sure as heck want you. Folks, you've got, if you ever get any chances, you please shake a cop's hand, okay? We had an auto theft last week. Yes, right out of our back parking lot. One of my new employees, a neat kid, just happened, you know. They got it back in 5 hours. There's a guy named Chris who works for the Spokane Police Department. His entire existence is auto crimes and auto theft. And, man, what a neat kid. A kid. I'm 55. Kid, he's probably, you know, in his 30s. So maybe not so kid-ish. But I can tell you what a spectacular job he did. Folks, we had a car stolen out of our back parking lot, which is very secure. Of course, we had extensive video of it. 5 hours it took the cops. 5 hours. They don't mess around anymore. Years back, my daughter-in-law got her car stolen many moons ago. And they wouldn't even try. But this guy is a stud. I'll just leave it at that. Very pleased, very happy. If you see a police officer, thank him. I mean, tell them, do you know that many of these guys are some of the brightest and best individuals, especially now? SPD gets people with, you know, I had a guy come here a while ago over an employee theft issue when we were, parting ways with certain employees. We were doing some issue, whatever. I had to file a police report over missing stuff. I don't want to name names, but it's such. And by the way, here's something so important. When I discuss employee theft issues, there are certain listeners that are coming, oh, you know, I think that person ripped me off. No, never. Folks, I mean, if you had any clue how our system works, our depository system, it is, I will not use the word impenetrable. Internally, wow, very close, okay? It just doesn't happen. It's designed, no one can get in there, no employee can get in there without you. You can't get in there without them. No one's ever allowed in there without specific accompaniment. We have dual combos on the locks. We have heat sensors, seismic detectors, motion surveillance. And on top of all that, folks, excuse my voice, they would never steal from a client. It's idiotic. They've got me. And I don't want to say, you know, bring it on. But I mean, folks, if you had any clue what was going on here and saw the substantiality of what we have in materials on hand, I am a very comfortable target. And that is really idiotic for me to talk like that. I've dealt with trust over all the years. That's what I love about having my daughter on board and the people we've got working for us right now. There's just no question. They're impeccable. It's over. I mean, there's no doubt. And we look out, and if you also had any idea, and I don't mean this to be snarky or anything, but I'm just saying, you comprehension wise, what we store and preserve for those who choose to store with our depositories, the dollar amount is significant. And I'm very, I don't advertise my depository service. I talk about it on the radio show. We reserve those for our clients in general, period. There's no, we're not advertising out there, here, get a locker. You know, there's another place in town that is sort of a non-bank depository service, but he has lockers. They're lockers. They're in a vault. They've got a big vault door, and then that's, you know, wrapped around in cheap sheetrock. And everyone feels good because the door's big. And then they get a locker. We have each of our safe deposit boxes is an individual vault. We pay top dollar for those from the beginning, from the start. We bought the best of the best of the best. And your material is in good hands. I did not mean to go down that road. Do not be spooked. And also, if you're ever uncomfortable with it, just let us know, and we will encourage you to find another location. That is not being mean. It's just, but I believe in inner peace, and if you don't have it, then you want it. And so we've been doing this now for, our depository system has been in place now for about 16, 17 years. So far, so good, right? But we, and just to throw down that road again, I came from Bank of America. God blessed my career in banking. I rolled up well. I climbed the ladder. I was very hungry, of course. You know, flat broke, young kids, student loans, a wife struggling with medical stuff. And just a dig deep drive for success, and I did pretty well. But I got exposed to some major foolish mistakes of the bank, including those pertaining to safe depository neglect, abuse. That's probably the best words, neglect. And they got to the point. In the early 90s, mid-90s especially, where money was flowing like water and they had all these new ideas. So they created these shopping mall-type bank branches. In other words, literally in the mall. Then good old Bank of America merged with coffee shops. Oh, how brilliant. You can come in, sit down at the bistro, have your coffee. On one side, you have Starbucks, and on the other side, you've got Bank of America right there. Okay, well, here's the problem. They'd have these back hallways where they'd put, I'm not kidding you, this blew my mind then. They would have people's deposit boxes lined up against a wall in the back, in a back hallway. And so people could go access those boxes, et cetera, et cetera. Dum, dum, dummity, dum, dum. Guess what? Yep, they got broke into. Not only were the boxes, you know, not of the highest quality, which is pretty much not an issue ever because boxes are supposed to be inside of great big vaults, which ours are, but they didn't track them properly, et cetera. So the problem is when I was in banking, as I was rolling into this, I got to see a lot of big stupids take place where people, oh, Lord, you know, a box or two back then with the bank in their little coffee shop strip mall branches would get broken into, and then all of a sudden it raised down on everything. And then I watched the bank endure litigation over, well, you know, I saw in the paper that you had two break-ins to safe deposit boxes, and mine is missing. All of a sudden, there was I'll never, ever, ever forget this. There was an Asian lady who had, you know, we knew her for a while. She wasn't wealthy. But all of a sudden, when she found out someone else's box had been breached, all of a sudden, she was missing an 8-carat emerald cut the flawless diamond, right? No, not even a possibility, you know. But she pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And of course, the bank wrote her a check. And anyway, I learned from watching those foolish stupidities. It was always, you know, when you're running the brand, I was at the regional level, which was very frontline, very, you know, I was dealing with the branch and the customers and the managers and all that kind of stuff. And we knew what was going on. And then we'd get these new programs that would come from corporate, and they were so out of touch. And obviously, you get the point, right? They didn't do the best job, we'll say that. We had some issues. So I'll just say I learned by observation. There's a lot of different kinds of people in the world. Oh, that's nice. There's a lot of different kinds of people in the world. There's those who make things happen, those who watch what's happening, and those who wonder what's happening. And maybe those who don't care. But I can tell you, I was always the one that wondered what was happening and wanted to make things happen. It's just the way God made my brain work. It's a busy brain. I don't believe, you know, there's different things that you can realize. There's thought processes where we think that gaining intellectual substance or concepts, wondering what's going on, thinking heavily, is adding to our burden, okay? And it's not. Our mind, your mind can comprehend and retain and handle more information than you could ever put into it. So you never have to, if you're not learning in your profession or your life, if you're not learning, it's, you know, it's your choice, because your brain is capable of a lot of amazing things. There's things that can happen to us in life that will hinder that. Alcohol, drugs, brain damage, things like that. But overall, our brains work pretty darn good. And even when you have brain injury, I've dealt with that recently with an individual that I'm not sure which one it is, but it appears to be chemicals, because brain injury is a person will have it volatility typically. Medication is just not right, you know. Medication just changes a person's entire layout, you know. And so, but anyway, long story short, absent of that, we have the ability to comprehend a lot, to retain so much, it's unbelievable. Our mind even does defrag. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you remember, back in the day, still happens today, probably behind the scenes on computers, they call it a defragmentation. So as you're on your computer, you're bouncing around from this to that, to that, to this, and here and there, and all these little bits and pieces of memory get scattered on the hard drive as you move here and move there and et cetera, right? And you get what's called fragmentation, okay? So defragmentation is where you can run a defrag on a computer and it'll go clean up all that stuff, consolidate it, simplify it, convert it to the files you want, et cetera. Well, when you're in your REM sleep, rapid eye movement, your stage one sleep, which is very important, if you haven't slept for quite a while, trust me, I'm familiar with that. You guys have heard me. There's days when you're like, what's up with that guy? I push myself so hard, folks, it's not good. Pray for me. I need help. And I've been working on it, and you know that. And I work, like, literally during the week, I work sometimes 100 hours or something. It's absolutely It's that true. It's ridiculous. And it's just the nature of the beast. I severely appreciate the business, and I appreciate God putting me in a situation with such a blessed... It's just such a beautiful thing that God has chosen us to take care of you, our clientele, and I take that responsibility seriously. And there are coin shops out there. I hate, it's weird because you think of coin shops, if you've ever been to one or two or five, some of them are the biggest joke on planet Earth. You walk into these little ho-dunky junk shops and they're, you know, they're just out to lunch, literally. They don't even know what, they're just not professional, kind, good, whatever. There's a few in our area that are like our best advertising. Lewiston, Idaho would be one of them. There's a few others as well. But just because the way they treat people is so horrible and wretched and negative and dark and mean and dishonest. And, you know, this business really is simple. There's a substantial quantity of products that are that have a high level of liquidity. And what do I mean by that? There's a lot of items I can buy, and if I want, which I do not do, we do not wholesale anything, which has been my my downfall and my upkeep. Over the years, decades, I've stored up so much stuff you wouldn't even believe it's physically possible because I've always been a collector at heart. But everything we buy, well, that's not true. The majority of the stuff we buy, or a significant portion, how's that, is liquid, vaporizably liquid, meaning I can make a phone call. Say, for example, there's a, just hypothetically, say there's a $1,000 coin, and it's that's what it's worth. It's worth $1,000, and it's a rare coin. We will pay $900 for that coin. That's not talking precious metals. Precious metals are different. The margins are so tight, people don't even believe it. You get, if gold's $1,800 an ounce, if I pay $1,800 for an ounce of gold, I'm selling it at $1,836, 2% over. If it's just 1 ounce, I might charge 2.5. If I really, the market's down and rocky, maybe I'll charge 3, okay? But I'll tell you what, that's $50, even at 3%, that's $50 on almost 2,000. And that's a better example because that'd be about right, 2.5%, you know? But you think, well, $50, you made $50. Well, I have to put my money out there. I got to own it, folks. When you come in, I don't, like, not own it. I have to buy the metal, ride the market, and you're like, well, I've had people go, I love this one. This happens fairly often. People come in. Well, you probably remember me. I sold you 10 ounces of gold 7 years ago, and after you bought it, gold went up. And I'm like, huh? Yeah, you remember that. It was quite a bit of money. And it's like, no, I don't. We don't buy. We buy and we sell on the live market. I do not hoard up and speculate for it to go up and then dump and then hang on when it goes down and wait for it to go back up. That, you know what kind of a business model that would be? That would be a nuclear bomb. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen. We don't operate that way. We buy and we sell. I do hold the metal. I own it, and I have to ride the market. We also, you also always have what's called the cost of value, cost of funds. I mean, if we have a substantial, you know, seven figures tied up in precious metals, I mean, that money is worth something. That money could be being used for a number of things. So, you know, and interest rates are low now, but hypothetically, you have to always bring that into the equation, et cetera. So, you know, we have figured out over 25 years how to operate literally on the lowest margins. And the thing, I want to move on from this, but I want to stay on the financial topic. And we have made a point in this company, and Coins Plus Spokane is so unique. And there's so many people that I love that love us, and thank you. It's meaningful. So many of you have dealt with my daughter. She's absolutely a godsend, the most phenomenally incredible, beautiful, smart, classy, intelligent, incredible woman. And I'm not just saying that because she's my daughter, but I mean, she really is. And people agree, she's phenomenal. Once in a blue moon, you get some cranker that'll beat us up over something. We had a guy recently over, you know, we have a 10 business day hold on private checks, personal checks, 10 business days, just the way it is. Well, a banker, you know, is like, well, you know, my check already cleared, you know, your receipt, sir. Number one, we looked you in the eye and we told you there's a 10 business day hold. Number two, we put it on your receipt. Number three, you discussed it. We discussed it again. Number four, you left and you called and you asked about it again. And we said, look, you're welcome to bring a cashier's check to replace it with, and you did not. And then, you know, three business days later, he's going, you know, my check cleared. And he goes, you're sitting on my money. And I'm like, whoa, no, I'm not. The minute you pay, you own the metal. I take the metal out of my inventory and I put it in a vault, in a safe in a vault. How about in a safe inside of a massive class 2A plus vault, inside of a massive vault room, and it sits until that check passes our clearance period. We're not using the term, did the check clear? I had an issue here recently. I've had a couple. One, we had a personal check bounce from a very good client, $50,000. Mistake, whatever. But it took about 7 days to deal with and then to before it showed up. It scared us, but we know the guy's good. I had a expired cashier's check. We have to watch our everything here, you know. Someone brings in a cashier's check that not only was it expired, but when he got the cashier's check from this credit union, this little wimpy credit union down in Arizona, I've never heard of, he actually asked for a 30-day expiration period on the cashier's check, which was awkward. Why someone would do that, I don't know. And then he brought it in on the 31st day. Well, we're not, you know, you don't think of cashier's checks as being dead. And that also had its own experience. And it takes a little bit of time. I've had counterfeit stuff. American Express, years back, I lost $25,000 in whole. I mean, I've had that happen multiple times, and that's why I try to be averse to risk. I can't handle it. Our business, our margins are too small. You know, if I lose $25,000, I have to sell another $1 million just to make up for the profit I just lost. So we're very careful about it. That thin margin is to your benefit. The other thing Coins Plus offers, I'll get back to the American Express check thing. The other thing we offer, you don't have to worry about the marketplace. I promise you, we keep our eye on it all the time. People call, I want to buy gold, I want to buy silver, how much you want to spend? They get leery. Well, you know, I'm not sure I want to tell you because then you'll know. Bottom line, our policies, procedures, ethics, integrity, character, whatever you want to call it, doesn't change based on how much money you have. And, you know, so when we ask that kind of stuff, we're trying to consult. We're trying to help you. I especially lean that way heavily. I have a strong financial and money background, and I want to know, as much as I can about you individually, because I want to do what's absolutely right for you. I want to meet your short, medium, and long-term goals. And I can't do that without a comprehension of who you are. I'm a banker by nature. I mean, old school banker. I am probably the end of the dinosaurs. I mean, where we learned how to manage, when I was in management training with Norwest Banks, which is a company that bought Wells Fargo and kept their name, you know, in the morning you'd come to work, you'd collect debt. Why? Because you never forget. You're in there grinding it out. You realize when things go south, you have a problem. They never let you forget that. Then in the afternoons, you learn how to run the branch. You learn how to loan. You learn how to manage. You learn how to process this and that. But they never let you forget what happens when deals go awry. Because the worst thing that happens now, you get these bankers that are sitting in a little Wells Fargo branch here or there, and I've seen it from various angles, and they don't understand. They have, you know, sweet Mary Jones in front of them, and they don't, and then the, you know, and the branch, or the branch, the corporate credit decision-making organization section, whatever it is, says, nope, Mary is not good. Declined, rejected, whatever you want to call it. And they're like, hey, wait a minute, this gal's super nice. Well, she might be super nice right there. But in some cases, if you saw her her credit history, she has a redundancy of issues. And it's important to understand that pattern behavior is behavior. People go, well, you don't understand. I had a medical bankruptcy. I used to go through this all the time. Okay, that's fine. Let's look. Oh, there it is, $6,950 at this hospital and $7,200 at that. But what about the $32,000 in unsecured debt that you wrote off? And what about the car here you gave up? Wait a minute. You lost your house. Well, yes, I did. Okay, so now I'm looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars in bad debt that a bank absorbed, and that's medical? Well, yeah. Well, how come these issues happen a year, 2 years, 3 years later? Well, you know. And, I mean, the thing is, folks, it is a character pattern. People, if you look, credit is a reflection of character. I'm not going to say, I know people go crazy, the mean, nasty banks. Folks, I don't think that I know of any scenario in this modern society where a bank can hold a gun to your head and make you borrow money. I do know that it's becoming incredibly difficult to function. Again, like I said on my way here, I was running hard, talking to a few different people that work for us and with us, just great people, but I was talking about the effect of what's going on with the price of vehicles, real estate. Think about this. You know, if you think of those things that are biblically attributed as true wealth, this is a no-brainer. Think of this, okay? So I say gold and silver or precious metals, right? What have they done? They've laid pretty low. They're ready for a big move, okay? So we got gold and silver. Now we go on to livestock. You know, what's that? Animals, living animals. Why? Because you can feed them. I'm not feeding them. You can eat them. You feed them, then you eat them. You can use them for energy. That's the old school. Now we use gasoline a lot. But you go gold and silver, livestock, real estate. Okay, so livestock's gone through the roof, by the way, if you didn't know. You want to boil that down to your front? How much is a pound of beef? How much is a pound of chicken? How much is a pound of fish, right? Double, okay? So then you got real estate. How much is it? It's up 50 to 100% over the last couple of years, right? Human life. Okay, here's one thing. Human life, I say, is where wealth is truly built. Big corporations. What makes Amazon so great? People. It's a massive corporation They have developed a system. Their profit margins are so high that they can employ incompetence. They employ people that are not impressive. They don't give anyone any authority. They give them a little bit of responsibility. They pay them minimum wage plus a little. And they're, you know, if you know much about that, it's an uncomfortable situation. And then you go, it goes gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. Well, precious stones, that's just something that's biblically attributed as true wealth. It's they're worth good money in every area. But the thing is, you don't want to get into that. There's people out there running scams, selling all kinds of weird stuff. You can't say, oh, look, I have a Ceylon blue. Everything comes from, there's this guy in town that scams people. And his name's Will Payne, and he goes around and he scams everything from attorneys to doctors. He never stops talking, and he gets these people into these rubies and emeralds, and he doesn't do emeralds, obviously, not even good rubies. Natural rubies and emeralds are nice. If they're good, they're good, but sapphires he does, and then on down the whole list you go with corundum and all that kind of stuff, and basically, you don't know anything about it, okay? So what do you do if you want to balance out? You get a diamond. There are diamonds that are GIA certified. That's the Gemological Institute of America. That is the grading service. If they say a diamond is VS1 E color, VS1 clarity E color with an excellent cut, it is. It's a rock. That's cut right, and that's what we do. We grade things accurately. We have tons of GIA graded stones. We have coins plus clock tower graded stones, but we guarantee what we grade. We're very conservative. We made mistakes. Those mistakes are always in the customer's favor. But you can buy good quality, nice diamonds and park them. I mean, you just enjoy them. You throw them in a portfolio. They're a good investment. They're solid, liquid. And if they're GIA certified, you have what's called the rap sheet, the Rapoport. It comes out every week, and it is the globally respected and accepted wholesale price guide to diamonds. But in general, so what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. You want gold and silver. What I was saying, all these other things have escalated significantly. Metals are ready to pop. There is something going on, and I don't really have time to get into it, but I'm telling you, there's something going on with metals. They need to, they're ready, 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 ready. They're not doing bad. They've done okay. I mean, since COVID hit, you know, we're probably up 40, 50%. Great. But you're going to see a major jackhammer when God says you will be casting your gold and silver in the streets on the day of wrath. He tells you it's going to be there all the way through the end. When he tells us multiple times that gold is in heaven, that tells us it's pretty good stuff, right? And I've gone off on that a little bit too much. But I'll tell you, I know there's, you know, Revelations 21, the last chapter of the Bible. I know it says, I don't have it, but it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and it talks about the first earth, the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And the sea, it says, was no more. And then it talks about, John says he saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Can you imagine this? And it says it's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then he hears this loud voice. Whatever angel this is very respected by God, you know, and he has a loud voice. And it's a loud voice that says, behold, the dwelling place of God's. Okay, I'm going to look this up. Hang on. Okay. It says, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away. And it says, he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. There's all these things. God says this is true. Folks, is it awesome to know a God that has that ability? To know a God that let us endure. How could you ever appreciate heaven? Think about it. God created you. You, each one of you, is his chosen people. It doesn't matter how many of us there are, because we're mentally incapable of comprehending the brevity and significance of it. Okay? But he's still God. And he made each one of us, and he loves each one of us. And he tells us that he lets us endure earth. Now, if you know Christ, there's a lot of good times. There's a lot of good things. You have a proper perspective. You're trusting in the Lord. If you don't, it's hard. If you're stimulating your nerve endings and seeking, sin to feed your flesh, it's painful. For every action, equal opposite reaction. You seek God, guess what the equal opposite reaction is? It's as the Bible says, you get life, right? We know a God, he's got a system. We can't be so narrow-minded that we think that everything is on our level of thinking. This, well, why would God allow this and allow that? Why does God allow all this pain and suffering and sorrow? We do. It's our brokenness, but he lets us receive the consequences of our choices. And then if we accept him, he cleanses all that. Now and when we die, for good. If you think about the profound significance of that, you can live your life, experience things, not be afraid to fall down and scrape your knee, hypothetically, not be afraid to go out and serve him and do your best. Fall down, like I said, hit your head, scrape your knee. You know, there's scriptures in Proverbs about, you know, that, or even Psalms 37, I think. It talks about, man, when you fall down, God picks you up if you're his child. I'll see if I can find that here. Oh, let's see. It says, I love Psalms 37. It's probably my most profound scripture. You know, you got to delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Don't get obsessed with those who are living life wrong, and it looks to you like things are great. They're not. Then he tells us, cease from anger, forsake wrath. Get over the anger. Give up wrath. What is wrath? Wrath is retribution. It's vengeance. Get it? He says, don't fret. It leads only to evil doing. It says, evildoers will be cut off. Those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. What land? What God gives us. Yet a little while, the wicked will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will no longer be there. The humble will inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. God says prosperity. You know, the health and wealth. People are like, oh, you can't preach that. Well, no, you can't. You don't demand or command God to do squat. But let me tell you something. God doesn't, you know, you get into the health and wealth stuff, and people are like, God does not want you to live in misery and poverty. Look at America. It's based on his principles. He wants us to have prosperity. It's just a matter of what our spirit is and what we worship and what we put first. And now we're falling apart. It says the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. I'm running out of time. Then it says what? The Lord laughs at him and sees his day is coming. And I'm trying to find, I'm out of time here. Where was the days of the blameless? Won't be ashamed in the time of evil. The wicked will perish. Come on, I know it's here. Oh. The steps of man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. You got the Lord on your side, folks. Folks, give us a call. Secure your metals now. Don't go cyber currency, crypto crazy. Give us some positive reviews. We'll give you free silver dollars. God bless. Bye-bye. Thanks.